Today, I'm reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 37. This is a story taken from Scripture describing the formation of the early church. The community of believers was of one mind and one heart. None of them claimed anything as their own. Rather, everything was held in common. The apostles continued to testify with great power to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they were all given great respect. Nor was anyone needy among them, for those who owned property or house would sell them and give the money to the apostles. It was then distributed to any member who might be in need. There was a certain Levite from Cyprus named Joseph, to whom the apostles gave the name Barnabas, which means encourager. He sold a farm that he owned and made a donation of the money, presenting it to the apostles. A word from our ancient story. Thanks be to God.
Once upon a time, there was a very small village that was inhabited by very poor people. They didn't like very much sharing their things with others, possibly because they just didn't have a lot. They would lock their doors and windows tight to keep their stuff in and keep what little provisions they had for themselves when strangers came to town. One day, a visitor, a stranger, passed through the village. He was very hungry and exhausted from his long journey, and he thought he'd stop at this little village. So he stopped at the first house and knocked on the door, and when the woman opened the door a crack, she said, "What do you want?" He said, "I've been traveling a long time, and I'm just passing through the village. I am tired and very hungry. Do you have something that you could feed me?" She said, "No, I have very little. I can't afford to give you anything." And she closed the door in his face. The traveler was not ready to give up yet and thought there must be some kind soul in the village, so he went and knocked on a few other doors, asking them if they would give him something to eat. And he got the same response at every one. "No, we're poor. We don't have anything. We can't give you anything." So finally, he did give up. And he pulled this cauldron out of his pack, and he went down to the river, and he dipped out a cauldron of water, and he built a fire in the middle of the village, and he put the cauldron on it, and he started to boil the water. And he took out of his pack this round stone, and he threw it in the pot. Well, the villagers were watching through their windows, and finally one soul came out and said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm making stone soup. It's not going to take very long, and I'll share it with you if you like. Although it could use a little salt and pepper, would you perhaps have just a little salt and pepper to throw in?" And so she said, "I do have that." So went and got some salt and pepper and threw it in the cauldron. Pretty soon others started to venture out of their homes and went over to the stranger and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm making stone soup, and I'm happy to share it with you. Could use a few vegetables, though." And then people started scurrying back to the house, and one had a carrot and a turnip and a potato and, you know, those onions, and some even had a little salt park to throw in, and they came and just threw in a handful of food into the pot. Soon, it was boiling and smelling very good, this stone soup. And eventually, he leaned over the soup and he said, "It's almost ready. Why don't you go and get your bowls and your spoons and come back and share this feast with me?" And so they scurried back to their houses and got their bowls and came back out to the round the fire, and he ladled out this delicious, aromatic, hot soup, big bowls of it for everyone. And they ate, and they were filled, and they were satisfied with this soup. And they stood around talking to each other, grateful for this soup and this stranger, and said, "It's so delicious. Where do we get this magic stone?" And the stranger fished the stone out of the soup and held it up, and they realized it wasn't the stone that made it delicious. It was all of the ingredients they had brought together and put into this soup. The traveler ate what was left of the soup and packed things up and went on his way. But what the villagers realized is perhaps we would be better off if we did things together rather than keeping things to ourselves. Maybe our lives would improve if we cared for each other. How many of you know this story of stone soup? Yeah, lots know the story of stone soup. It's an old European folk tale told in many cultures with various embellishments to it. There's actually a town in Portugal that claims that the stone soup story came from there in the 18th century. And they, in this little town, they serve a specialty called sopa de pedra, stone soup. The story reminds people that we function best when we come together as community and create something better than any of us could individually. It shows that one creative, innovative person can bring together a group of people to make something great happen. In our tradition, that person is Jesus. He himself and others in Scripture spoke of Jesus as the cornerstone of the tradition on which the community of faith, the church, is built. So what if we imagine the church as this grand structure that encompasses the world, a living community, and continues to build on something that brings people together to make the world a better place? Jesus is the living cornerstone of our faith, the one on whom we keep building. He stands at the center of our tradition. We, and all followers through all ages, continue to build on what Jesus started. Each one of us is a living stone in this immense, living, breathing structure that reaches around the world. Just as the soup started with a stone, we start with Jesus. A movement that builds on Jesus' faith and compassion. Jesus' care for the poor and oppressed. Jesus' love and forgiveness. Jesus' sacrifice and vision. Jesus' justice and inclusion. Until we build something and a community that reaches even the smallest corners of the world with Jesus' vision and hope, where lives can be transformed by love. I have said before that we perhaps can have faith in God individually, but we cannot claim to be Christians without one another, without being in community. By its very nature, Christianity, or following Jesus, entails being in community with others. It entails being connected to the body of Christ, one body. We can believe without being the church, but we can't be Christians without being the church. As Christians, by definition, we are the church, not in the world as individuals, in the world as one body in unity with one another. We cannot truly say that we are part of the body of Christ without being a part of the body of Christ, without supporting the work of a community, without building it up. And I'm not saying it has to be a large community or it has to be a formal community. You don't have to meet in a building. You can meet with a few others. It can be small gatherings of people. But if we identify as a Jesus follower, we identify as the church, being in community with others. The early church understood this intimately. They knew it immediately. They knew that they would be nothing without the care and love, support, and teachings that they shared with each other in community. As a fledgling movement, they had no chance of growing this movement unless they banded together, banded tightly together, and continued to seek Jesus' way and continued to encourage each other. This is really true of any movement. It requires community and a common vision. We have to meet together. The early church met together daily, particularly during Lent, the season of Lent. They met together daily and shared everything they had for the sake of creating this community, this movement, this shared vision. And they sacrificed everything they had to build the community. They believed so fervently in creating something that they had known to change their own lives and knew would change other lives, that they sacrificed what they had. They committed their lives to this movement to the point of letting go of their possessions and property for the sake of the community. And once they had done that, once they had sold all their possessions, once they had given away what they had and shared it with the community so everybody could be built up, there was no going back because they had put everything they had into that vision. They were the living stones on which this church is still being built. We are the living stones being placed on that same structure that the first believers built and started centuries ago. We are the living stones that are still being stacked on those people who started the first movement. The church will only be as strong as each living stone in the community. It is as strong as you and I and our commitment to the church. The church needs those who follow Jesus to continue to build a vision of love and justice and peace in the world. There are many movements in the world, many organizations that we can join, and they're doing good, and we belong to lots of them, and this is great. The church needs to partner with whoever is doing this work in the world. The church, however, is unique in that it believes in creating a diverse, multi-generational, world-spanning, weekly meeting, God-loving, Jesus-following community of people who have a clear vision of what the world is and could be. And it has many, many ways of doing this. The church is limited only by its imagination and its mandate to love. Think about that. Who has the opportunity to do that much in the world? We are limited only by our imagination and our mandate to love. The church meets regularly together and can be found anywhere in the world. Is the church perfect? No. It's human. Even so, this community, the church, has lasted for centuries with no end in sight. Each of us is invited to join the church and bring our own particular shape to this structure. It starts with a stone, but it doesn't end there. We are the stones on which future generations will build. Will others be able to build on our shoulders? Are we strong enough? How will we build this community in this place so that it will remain strong and vibrant for those who come after us? With us working together and contributing what we have, we will create something bigger than us for the sake of a vision that started with Jesus, the cornerstone, and continues today with us, a continuation that has never stopped over the last 2,000 years. Start with a stone. The stone. Let's take a moment for reflection.